I welcome my colleague Jonathan Schanzer, Senior Vice President for Research at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, to help me interpret the turbulent headlines from Reuters about the Middle East. Beirut, these last hours, a ceasefire between Israel and Lebanese armed group Hezbollah held after two sides struck a deal brokered by the U.S. and France. But Israel warned local residents not to return to the border area yet or approach its troops. I mentioned that we're looking at unknown territory to me because the geography here matters profoundly. I have been to the north of Israel several times. It's very, very difficult to tell where Lebanon begins and Israel stops or where Syria begins and Israel stops. Very difficult. This is a crowded landscape with lots of challenges ahead. Jonathan, a very good day to you. A ceasefire. It's not an armistice. It's not a peace deal. It's not a negotiation. It's a ceasefire. What is it about this ceasefire that is attractive to the Netanyahu government and the IDF? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Yeah, look, I think there are a couple things to point out about this deal. First, it's a 60-day ceasefire, so it gives the Israelis 2 months of rest, and those 2 months will coincide with the lame duck period that Iran and its proxies may have tried to take advantage of before the Trump administration would come in. And what this is going to do is it's going to ensure likely a much longer term ceasefire. It's hard to imagine Iran, Hezbollah, and the rest doubling down on this war after Trump comes in, given the policies that he's known for, the tough positions that he's taken against them. But I think there is something else that's very different here that is important to the Israelis, namely that they have reportedly received a side letter, as it is now being described, from the Biden administration, guaranteeing freedom of action in all of Lebanon whenever they see Hezbollah beginning to reconstitute. So in other words, what the Israelis were doing before was holding back, trying to prevent conflict, deconfliction, gray zone conflict that would not lead to a wider war. I think the post-10-7 mentality of Israel right now is such that whenever they see activity that appears threatening, they are going to use that side letter and they are going to strike. In the meantime, I think there is a realization in Lebanon and perhaps around the world that there is a crisis in that country, that they cannot continue to exist as they have, being utterly and completely controlled by an Iranian proxy that has bankrupted the country and has led it to the brink of disaster. They dodged a bullet here. So I think there is perhaps some growing consensus internationally that something needs to be done about the chaos inside Lebanon that has been fomented by Iran and its junior partners. The last thing I think that is appealing to the Israelis about this deal is that it appears that the U.S. is going to release the weapons, these 2,000-pound bombs and other systems that the Israelis have had on order that the Biden administration has refused to release. That is happening in exchange for this ceasefire. That is the quid pro quo. That means that Israel gets to reload for the next conflict, whenever that is. It could be in 60 days when the ceasefire expires, but it could be much longer down the road, which I think is where Israel would like this to go, where it will be able to amass enough firepower to truly do a lot of damage to Hezbollah. You've got to remember, John, that a lot of these bombs, a lot of these systems were used in Gaza, and the Israelis depleted what they had in their arsenal, and the Biden administration used that as leverage. They started withholding weapons to prevent Israel from going north and devastating Lebanon. Some might say it was a mistake to not do that on Israel's part. The Biden administration certainly wielded that against them, and I think some people are still bitter about that in Israel. But I do think that right now, with a bit of time, a little bit of a breather for Israel's tired troops, a little bit of time to perhaps rebuild their economy and get back their footing, this will give them an opportunity to prepare for that next round of conflict, which is a matter of when, not if.
Reuters is reporting that there are 5 pages of text with a map. I want to note that what is new here that we have not seen before, and promises where the UN gets involved, and it is involved. The area to be free of Hezbollah weaponry is delineated, according to Reuters, by a red line labeled New 2024 Line that runs east-west across Lebanon. What is significant about that, John? Who's going to enforce it?
Well, no one's going to enforce it. And I think we need to be clear about that. This idea that the Lebanese armed forces are, that they're going to be willing or able to enforce this, it seems just preposterous. The notion that UNIFIL, the UN interim force in Lebanon, that they would be willing to enforce this, also preposterous. I don't think, look, they may try and they may succeed in some cases, but I think they are weak. They are not as well armed. They are co-opted in many ways by Hezbollah itself. Now, one could argue that maybe with the evisceration of Hezbollah's leadership and the destruction of a lot of Hezbollah assets by Israel over the last several months, that maybe changes the equation. I am not convinced that that is the case. I think that it is this side letter that matters the most right now, that if Israel sees anything that it doesn't like, if it sees aggressive activity, if it sees threats forming, that it will move to act. And that is, I think, the big difference. It's what Israel should have done after the 2006 ceasefire, after UN Security Council Resolution 1701 was implemented. That's what should have happened back then. The Israelis, I think, were addicted to quiet. As they say, that the Israelis did not want to spark this wider war. I think in the post 10-7 mentality of Israel, I think they understand that there's no choice but to engage early and often with Hezbollah if, in fact, they attempt to mount a comeback.
My understanding, Jonathan, in conversation with you and watching the news, is that a major fear remains that Hezbollah is capable of launching an attack such as we saw in Hamas. In fact, that was a Hezbollah plan, as I recall, to cross the border, raid in, on a murder raid into Israel. Does this agreement preclude that? Because I note there's talk of the Litani River, that's 15 miles north of the border. Who will be sovereign in those 15 miles? Who patrols them so that there's not a murder raid?
Well, Lebanon is the Lebanese armed forces and UNIFIL are the designees for patrolling this area, which, again, does not inspire confidence at all, given their past performance. We know that they were incapable or unwilling. But I think, again, what the Israelis have done is they've ensured a freedom of action that perhaps they may have already had, but they're making it very clear right now to this administration, and they're getting the weapons needed, if need be, to strike another crippling blow. But one also needs to understand, John, that what Israel has done in Lebanon since September has also made it virtually impossible for what's known as the Radwan forces. These are the highly trained special forces of Hezbollah. They had these plans. And they had the infrastructure. They had a massive amount of weaponry in southern Lebanon prepared for such a raid. The Israelis have gone in and gone town to town, and they've destroyed those capabilities. They've destroyed the underground tunnels. They've destroyed bunkers. They've destroyed hundreds and hundreds, thousands of tons of weaponry, short-range rockets, RPGs, and other light weapons that cannot be used any longer for such a raid. So this is what's important now as the Israelis continue to monitor southern Lebanon. And they're going to be doing so with intelligence provided to them by the Biden administration and presumably with other administrations to come. This information will be used by the Israelis to ensure that southern Lebanon below the Litani is not repopulated with Hezbollah and its thugs. That is the goal here. It's why I think this deal is not as terrible as some critics have made it out to be. Now, a lot of that is going to depend upon how good the intelligence is. And again, how much in the way of armaments, replenished armaments, the Israelis get. And, you know, whether we see restraints put on the Israelis by future administrations. But one does get a sense here the Israelis have gotten most of what they wanted, and they're getting that breather, which they really, at this point, I think they must have it in order to regain their footing from a sort of social cohesion perspective, but also from a financial perspective, maybe a military one as well.
Reuters also reporting Israeli strikes on Gaza Strip. So when we come back, what about Gaza? What about Hamas? What about the ceasefire talk this last year? Jonathan Shanzer, Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. I'm John Baxter.